Peninsula. No threat to southeast Louisiana or coastal Mississippi from this storm. Indirectly, we'll get under a lot of tropical moisture that continues to develop these thunderstorms daily. Rounds of activity could produce some heavy rains, too, over the next several days at times as the rains come and go. 80s, mostly for highs. Nighttime lows of 70s to 80. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
Welcome to William Wallace for America. It's your time to speak out about the things that make America the greatest country on earth, and also find things in our country that we can unite on. William welcomes your positive solutions and questions by calling 504-556-9696. And now your host, William Wallace.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another great Tuesday night here at WGSO 990 AM with me, William Wallace, and my show, William Wallace for America. So tonight, I'm going to bring back on a guest that I had last week, Captain Black.
Dun, 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 dun.
I love it. Crime fighter extraordinaire here in New Orleans. And so we're going to bring him on because today's show, we're going to focus on crime in cities that are, let's put it this way, how crime policies in Democrat-run cities make crime worse. And we're going to use New Orleans with lots of examples here in New Orleans. And also, we're going to talk about the mayoral race coming up, or the next city elections coming up, and how those elections will be affected by the crime rates in New Orleans. So we're going to connect the two. This is not a show about the upcoming council races as much as it is about crime. Captain, what say you, master crime fighter here in New Orleans?
You're too kind. Well, I'm going to say that we're going to discuss crime-creating policies, CCP, and any...
Crime-creating policies.
Yes.
And I like that.
Any coincidence with any other acronyms in, well, large socialist organizations is purely coincidental.
Purely coincidental.
Of course.
Love it.
What we find in New Orleans is that the big house Democrats, as I call them, you know, people who are being catered to by big donors, big organizations with very little concern about actual public safety, unfortunately, are being told that it's okay. The fact that he has hit 20 women in the head doesn't make him a risk. And that's why, and I'm not being cute, folks, the Vera Institute's grading system for criminals, like, you know, a judge will get one of their reports, and here you have a guy who would kill his grandmother if only given the opportunity. They'll say, oh, he's a low risk. And
who wouldn't want to kill their grandma, right?
Well, I mean, he just slapped around a little bit because this is just because he felt frustrated. And I'm making
But he was a good boy. He was saving his money for college, right?
Yes, he was. Okay. And en route to Bible study, unfortunately, the U.S. Marshals Service and NOPD's Vials Unit had to catch him because, well, he had several outstanding violent crime warrants. This is what we're seeing. The big house. Now, the grassroots Democrat, who actually agrees with a lot of this, but disagrees in a couple of key areas. He or she doesn't want to be robbed. He or she doesn't want to wake up and see that a beautiful woman like Portia Pollack is murdered by a carjacker who was already out on bond for another carjacking and had an ankle monitor on that, ta-da, did not work.
So, and again, this is the one, just so people will know, this is the one that stabbed the grandmother to death while he was carjacking her.
I mean, it's not enough that you attack a woman early in the morning to steal her car.
So let's be specific. What are the policies that allowed him to be walking free in the street?
Well,
the Democrat policies. Because let me tell you something. Republican-run cities do not have this high crime levels.
Republican-run cities might not have crime levels as high, but, and you know this is one of my sore points with the GOP, groups like Right on Crime are like the Republican version of the policies we see here when they say, oh, well, you know, we've got to. It's cheaper not to have people in prison. Yeah, it's cheaper not to have them in prison, but then it costs a whole lot when innocent people are being shot, beaten, stabbed, and killed by people who should not even be on the streets in the first place.
So, Cap, I'm going to bring up a point real quick that we brought up earlier before we got on the show, is, and this is the question for the public to hear. So does crime fighting know race, or is crime fighting racial? Is crime fighting racist?
Okay, if we're talking about 1950, 1960, when I grew up, 1970s, 1980s, good argument could be made that there was a strong racial component. But in a majority black city, with a black mayor, a black superintendent, a majority black police department, whose police association of New Orleans president happens to be a Jewish police executive, we can say a lot of things about NOPD, but the SS, they're not. You know, we're getting confused in rhetoric and not reality.
There you go. So now the point that we're going to make is so basically they are allowing they're letting criminals out. Let's go back. Let's stay focused on the policies why these politicians, these judges,
well, that's what I
are letting
these
people
to.
Out. Right.
No less than the NOPD superintendent at several press conferences has said, without being specific, that he needs all members of the criminal justice system, all partners, to do their part. NOPD is arresting carjackers who are repeatedly carjacking, armed robbers who are repeatedly robbing. But if they are not being prosecuted sufficiently by our local DA, if they are not being handed sufficient sentences by hopefully our criminal court judges, and I'm making that distinction, because if our DA refers these cases to juvenile judges, they can impose prison sentences. At most, all they could give is juvenile life, which would be until the person's 21 years old. So we've got a police department that's actually doing its job, but it's not in charge of the DA's office, it's not in charge of the criminal courts, it's not in charge of the juvenile courts, and even though they wouldn't say this, they're also not in charge of a mayor and a city council that has to reckon with what I call, at least, crime-creating policies that either they unintentionally or intentionally adopted, hoping that they were going to stop, quote, mass incarceration. But now we're having mass victimization of who?
Ah.
Mostly single women in their vehicles. And either you have a zoo or a city when women are not safe to start their cars up in front of their houses, or for a woman who was shot in the back of the head and killed, and her dog, to go to her parents' house to drop off food for them during the height of the COVID policy shutdown last year. This is where we're at. Now, we can either argue politics, or we can start saying, what can we do to stop this?
And what I liked about you, Captain, is that you are very honest when you feel that it's a racial issue. You are
absolutely.
You're very honest about that. But you know, here you are saying, look, this is not race. This is Democrat policies that are putting criminals on the street, keeping them on the street, and also creating an atmosphere where they're going to thrive on the street.
And the beauty of
is that
the,
true?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the beauty is the members of our United Safety Network, mostly Democrats, folks, but they don't want to see people beaten up. They don't want to see people robbed. They don't want to see people carjacked. This is not a partisan issue. And it's so good that we do have a city election coming up, because a lot of people running for re-election or trying to level up to other positions are going to have to answer, what are you going to do about violent crime? And if it's more woke stuff, I'm afraid that they're going to lose. And it's not because of an influx of Republicans, because their own fellow Democrats will say, that's not enough. Portia Pollack should be alive today. The woman who was shot in the back of her head and her dog was murdered too should be alive today. Most of the people who have been carjacked were carjacked by people with records as long as Canal Street. So it's not like it was a mystery to the local criminal justice system.
Do you see these same policies going on in, say, cities like Chicago?
Absolutely.
Are they parallel?
Chicago, Seattle, Minneapolis particularly. You know, now, to their credit, because I'm not bashing, the New Orleans City Council, nor the current mayor, they have not voted to, quote, defund NOPD. In Minneapolis, they did defund, and several other cities. And, of course, the consequences have been a violent crime epidemic equal to or greater in some cases than what we're experiencing. New York is in the throes of an extreme crime wave. But fortunately, they've got the founder of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa,
who's going to be running for mayor. He's
he got the Republican nomination, so it's him and a retired police officer going neck and neck to take a bite out of the Big Apple.
There you go, love it. So we got a break coming up in 30 seconds, Cap. But before that break, we'll give an intro on what's going to happen after the break. Of course, we're always going to give people how to get a listen to more of you on your platform. But let's talk more when we come back about what other policies in New Orleans are allowing crime to go back on the rise. And one thing I like to point out is the policy where they're just allowing all these people to camp out, you know, under the interstate, and the numbers of tents underneath our interstate system right here and outside that city perimeter, I think has quadrupled, you know, in that, you know, in just recently in the last few months. Driving past there today, I'm amazed at how many tents are put up. And now that roads are being blocked off because of the you know, that tower that's falling apart or whatever, now they're actually camping in the middle of the road where that road is blocked off.
Wow.
And they're getting away with it. This promotes crime. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break here with more of me, William Wallace, for America on WGSO, and my guest today, Captain Black. And when we come back, he'll talk about his platform, too. Stay tuned after the break.
At Hyundai of Metairie, there's never been a time when your car has been more valuable than right now. And Hyundai of Metairie will pay up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book value. Buy a car from us, or we'll buy one from you. At Hyundai of Metairie, there's a reason why we're Louisiana's number one new Hyundai and certified pre-owned volume dealer. Be sure to visit our facility at 5969 Veterans Boulevard to see all we have to offer. Or call 504-838-9000. Visit us online at HyundaiofMetairie.com.
So many of my life's most important moments include the talks that I had with my dad outside on our deck. It was where we got away from the distractions of the indoors and just focused on learning from each other. I want to give that time to my own son today. So as I choose to build an outdoor structure for my home, I'm choosing Sequoia Outdoor Supply. They understand what it means to build memories, and they offer everything I need to get that done. Visit SequoiaOutdoorSupply.com to learn more.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Trayvon Cajun Meats and Barbecue serves barbecue and an experience. The meats are incredible, specials are fantastic, and dining there will make you feel like you are going down memory lane. You probably won't get to meet the owner because he's usually in the back cooking and preparing everything fresh for himself. Dine in, take out, and check out the prepared items to take home, or stock up on the sauces and rubs that Trayvon has had ready for you to prepare your own barbecue. Find them in River Ridge or on Facebook at Trayvon Cajun Meats, where they post a lot of funny stuff.
Does your company need to wear a mask to be compliant? Do you feel masks are needed to stop the spread, or do you have a company that needs to offer protection? National Mask USA offers masks that are 100% made in the USA with a facility right here in Louisiana. Masks made in the USA offer peace of mind that they will be made reliably, sanitary, and with American workers to help the U.S. economy. To find out how to get bulk quantity level 1, 3, and KN95 masks, call 504-399-3031. That's 504-399-3031. Get ready, Raider New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only,
July 24th and 25th,
at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show,
July 24th and 25th,
at the Pontchartrain Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
PDW Solutions has everything you need for your Second Amendment needs. Personal defense, training, concealed carry, and so much more for your personal and home security needs. To see what they have, visit them online or make an appointment to visit their store in person. PDW Solutions is on Facebook at PDW Solutions LLC or on the web at pdwsolutions.com. They aren't politically correct, so you may get an opinion on how they really feel about gun control. And their inventory shows they support the rights of the individual to keep and bear arms.
All right, everybody, welcome back to William Wallace for America on WGSO Studios tonight. So we got Matthew and Metairie on. Matthew, I got to tell you, I'll intro it. I brought you on during the break. I thought it was an interesting question. I want to hear what you have to say, and I think Captain Black would like to answer it. So what was your question specifically, Matthew?
It's more of a statement. I think a lot of what you see, the Democrat politicians in these major urban areas are basically, their belief system is that you cannot hold black people to the same standards that you hold everybody else to, because those standards themselves are inherently racist, such as, you know, getting a job, studying hard in school, and getting married, making a nuclear family. Remember, Patrice Couillard's, her goal was to abolish the nuclear family. These sorts of things are inherently racist because of their Western standards. They're standards of the British Enlightenment, of the Anglosphere. And that, after all, is racist.
So, Matthew, wait, I'm going to interject before Captain Black gets answer, which is, that's an interesting thought, because it was the policies in the 60s that destroyed the black family. You know, the new society, the welfare system is basically what destroyed the black family. You know, they took fathers out of the home, you know, by
contributed a lot.
What's
it
that?
It wasn't the only thing. It contributed a lot. It wasn't the only thing, but it did contribute a lot. Another thing is, this is from what Conservative Incorporated, exporting our manufacturing base to a communist country. That definitely contributed quite a bit to destroying the nuclear family, because it took it meant it was real hard for one man to be able to afford to raise two children, three children, and still have a homemaker wife at home. Now she had to go to work to make the ends meet.
Well,
or they had to basically live like, you know, they do in Appalachia.
So even though we're talking about more about family, you know, going back to your original question, which I'm going to thank you very much for that question, Matthew, and we'll let Captain Black to answer. Thank you very much, Matthew, for the call. I appreciate you.
Well, people as diverse as Malcolm X on one end of the spectrum and Justice Clarence Thomas on the other have made the same point. Let me just throw my spin on it. When you tell me that if neo-Nazis were running around carjacking people, and not all the carjackers in New Orleans are black, but a lot of them are. So according to this theory, let's just dip it in ivory for a moment.
In ivory ink.
Bunch of guys running around with swastikas and shaved heads attacking people. What do you think the response would be from our elected officials? Would they be worried about, well, maybe it's because he just didn't have a father in the home, or maybe it's because it was, you know, he grew up in a low income environment with a lot of socioeconomic pressures? No, they would fall over themselves trying to correct the problem. The bottom line is, and in this instance, we do have to be partisan, elite liberals, the ones, the big house Democrats I talked about in the last segment, mm-hmm. really feel that black people can't do any better. And because we can't do any better, the percentage of us who get involved in episodic, violent, and property crime, they really don't want to take any action because they feel like he can't do any better. Now, they'll never come out and say that.
And these are the big house Democrats, as you call them.
Yeah, you'll never have somebody get on TV and say, announce, I'm running for such and such office, and I want to assure the black community that I know that you're not intelligent enough or moral enough not to commit crime, so we're not going to hold you responsible. So, you'll never hear that, but that is the fine print that Matthew alluded to.
There you go.
Yeah, and you did, and Malcolm X did, and Justice Thomas did, and even I chimed on and did.
And it so there is there's a lot of truth to what he said.
It's profoundly insulting. And he also hit upon another key point, and we saw that on the way in today. When you export out your manufacturing base and men and women in the working class go from making solid middle-class incomes to now you got to see whether you can fight to get a job at your local burger joint, and there's nothing wrong with that. But nobody voted for the jobs to be exported over, just like nobody voted for all, well, I guess maybe some folks did who voted for Biden, to let in a lot of workers who are not from here and who are taking construction and other jobs that otherwise would have been held by working class black and other citizens.
That's a great point, Cap. That's a great point.
These are issues, and it's relevant here to New Orleans because New Orleans is not only, according to our mayor and our city council, we are not only a sanctuary city, but we are a welcoming city. So Matthew hit upon another point. If you want to talk about economic pressures driving crime, and I really don't accept that as absolute because people have been poor. The standard of living for black people relative to other groups has been lower since we were brought here. What we haven't had is a level of crime among our segment of the population that commits crime at the level that we see now. And instead of making excuses for it, we need to stop it because, once again, black women are being attacked. Black men are being attacked. White women are being attacked. You know, does it really matter the color of the victim, or does it matter that someone is being victimized? I focus on crime victims. I don't care where you come from or what you look like or even how you vote. I care that you are victimized, and I particularly care when crime-creating policies are an accomplice in it. Unfortunately, our city council told NOPD a few years ago, don't arrest people for misdemeanor crimes that are in the municipal code. Just give them a summons. And, you know, some people might say, well, gosh, Cap, isn't that a great thing? Well, you had one man who used to hang out and still does probably on St. Claude, and his hobby was walking up to strange women and punching them in the jaw. Now, you might think that's a felony, but no, that's simple assault, a misdemeanor. NOPD knows who he is, knows who he works.
And they just give him summons.
They would give him summons.
So, Captain, we're going to talk more about these policies afterwards, but people want to hear more about you. Where would they find you?
You can go to Urban Safety Network. Oh, you know what? I messed up because we were talking about some urban issues earlier. Pardon me. United Safety Network on Facebook. You can find me there, and we can have all kinds of wonderful conversation. Again, I'm into alliances, not argument.
I like that. So, Cap, we're going to talk more about that after the break, talk more about some of these Democrat policies, but we're going to focus on some of these Democrat policies when we get back here after the break with my show, me, William Wallace, for America, on WGSO Studios tonight.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal. Double M Feed in Harahan has everything you need for your garden. And not just for maintenance, but what you will need to create the perfect garden for your home or vegetable garden. They have pet supplies, livestock feed, and they have the expertise that's needed for lawn, garden, and pest control. Go there to shop or just to get some great ideas for future needs. And they are full service. So don't worry about the heavy stuff. They are at 8400 Jefferson Highway in Harahan or call them at 504-738-5007.
At Augie's in Harahan, you can reminisce about places like the Windjammer, Sal and Sam's, Smiley's, Augie's on Veterans, and Augie's Glass Garden, because Augie's talent for food was blended into all of them, and you can still experience them at his restaurant on Jefferson Highway in the Elmwood Business Park in Harahan. Augie's has a room for parties, receptions, and other events. Go visit Augie's for lunch or dinner, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. Former Governor Edwin Edwards is under hospice care, but his wife says the 93-year-old is still doing well and is not imminently close to death. On Talk Louisiana, Trina Edwards told Jim Inkster, Edwin has been losing some strength in recent weeks and agreed to place himself in hospice care, but is still in good spirits.
The only reason that we put him in hospice is, you know, he's been in a wheelchair for a while, and it was getting a lot harder for me to do things like, you know, lift him and get him around.
Today is William Tate IV's first day on the job as LSU's president. One of the topics he addressed was the school's need to focus on scholar athletes. He says not every athlete is going to make it on a professional level.
And they've got to be prepared to be outstanding citizens in our country. And so the fact is they've got to take scholarship first. I think LSU does a fine job at that, but I would like to see us even better.
Tate also said every Title IX complaint should be thoroughly investigated. LRN.
The internet has certainly changed things, from socializing to gaming, but cyberspace can also be dangerous and even deadly. Be sure your kids know the perils lurking online. Don't simply rely on software applications or device restrictions. Know the websites they're visiting, people they're talking to, and info they're sharing. Tell them to come to you if any situation online makes them feel uncomfortable. Let's keep our kids safe. Learn more at agjefflandry.com/cybersafety.
The opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed here are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Justice or LCLE, Office of Justice Programs, Subgrant 2018.
This is a big deal. Now at healthcare.gov, millions more people can't afford health coverage. Due to the COVID relief law, 4 out of 5 customers can get a plan for under $10 a month with financial help. From doctor visits to preventive services to prescription drugs, these are quality plans. You can do this. You can have coverage as soon as August 1st if you sign up now at healthcare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of
Jenna
Health.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal. Double M Feed in Harahan has everything you need for your garden. And not just for maintenance, but what you will need to create the perfect garden for your home or vegetable garden. They have pet supplies, livestock feed, and they have the expertise that's needed for lawn, garden, and pest control. Go there to shop or just to get some great ideas for future needs. And they are full service. So don't worry about the heavy stuff. They are at 8400 Jefferson Highway in Harahan, or call them at 504-738-5007.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans. The Great Southern Gun and Knife Show is coming for 2 days only, July 24th and 25th, at the Punch Train Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun books, camouflage, jewelry, and more. That's the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, July 24th and 25th at the Punch Train Center. Show hours 9 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Don't miss it.
PDW Solutions has everything you need for your Second Amendment needs. Personal defense, training, concealed carry, and so much more for your personal and home security needs. Or make an appointment to visit their store in person. PDW Solutions is on Facebook at PDW Solutions LLC or on the web at pdwsolutions.com. They aren't politically correct, so you may get an opinion on how they really feel about gun control. And their inventory shows they support the rights of the individual to keep and bear arms. All my friends are searching.
All right, everybody, welcome back to William Wallace for America. Today I'm broadcasting from WGSO Studios in New Orleans, Louisiana, and we got Captain Black on. So, Captain, once again, how can people find you real quick if they want to hear more of you?
United Safety Network on Facebook.
All right. And you got a Cash App if anyone wants to support you.
If you like, that is $RightestBro, RightestBro.
All right. What policy, what do you think is one of the, let's go hit some policies that are going on in New Orleans, Democrat-run city, and that's hurting our city, making crime worse.
We have a district attorney who has made it known that he refuses, except in one high-profile case so far, to prosecute juveniles as adults. Now, some people may say, well, isn't that a good thing? If the juvenile is committing a gun crime, a violent carjacking, repeated carjackings, repeated car burglaries, and assaulting people, taking guns, these are the people that he's saying he won't prosecute as adults. And
you have an example of that?
Got an example for you. A lady was carjacked, run over by her vehicle, was told that, rightfully, under the preceding DA, DA Cannizzaro, that crime was charged as attempted murder. Under the current DA, DA Williams, that crime was plea bargained down to 5 months in the juvenile boot camp and probation. This is for almost killing a woman. The suspect is 17 years old. He'll get out maybe before his birthday, maybe not, and go right back to what he was doing, except this time he might kill somebody.
Let me make this question may be somewhat inflammatory.
Just somewhat?
Yeah. So, you know, there's people all over the country that say that we're incarcerating black males more than white males, okay? And in our Democrat-run cities, is where more black males are committing crimes in some of these areas, going to jail. I'm just speaking statistically what the narrative is. And that's why I want to get you to clear up that narrative and explain, do you think there's a correlation to what's happening to the minority community based on are Democrat policies in these cities basically preying on minorities instead of helping the communities get back into shape?
Well, they're definitely.
Is that a roundabout way of asking it?
Extremely, but.
Okay. But you get it. Yeah, but you get it. I know you get it.
Bottom line is, it's not, quote, black males being arrested. It's carjackers, suspected carjackers, suspected armed robbers. All of us don't get a text message in the morning saying, everybody who's going to carjack today, please press 1. Everybody's right. Going to commit armed robbery today, please press 2. And you know I get on, and I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, I did for a reason, yeah, because I know you're.
Because you got a lot of conservatives who say, well, you know, black crime. And I'm like, okay, so you're saying that Justice Thomas and Thomas Sowell, in between, you know, Supreme Court and academic pursuits, they get together and rob people? I mean, what are you saying?
No.
You say black crime. No. No. We live in a Democrat-led city.
There you go. Now you see where I'm going with this.
Some of our Democratic friends do not think that the percentage of black men and women who commit crime can do any better. And instead of being honest about it, they just keep releasing them and releasing them and releasing them. And then when somebody gets killed and they actually have to prosecute, then they pretend like, oh, wow, how did this happen? Profoundly racist and profoundly anti-safety.
Exactly. So are they – but are they releasing – so why are they – are they releasing – more minorities in these Democrat-run cities.
Absolutely. I mean, the narrative that you referenced,
yes,
is that, well, we're trying to undo the consequences of systemic racism, and we're also trying to reduce New Jim Crow, and you know, they always got a bunch of buzz phrases, and mass incarceration. This is what they're saying. And when
this is what they're saying, this is what they're saying as to why they're doing it.
Yeah. Our current DA grudgingly had to charge two juveniles as adults who shot and killed the same woman I talked about in the last segment and her dog when she tried to get away from them when they were trying to carjack her. And he had to do it. Now, some of the same coalitions who supported him are asking for his resignation. Because some people are so committed to the narrative, it doesn't matter how many innocent working class people die. But let me tell you, folks, we have a mayor's race. We have an incumbent mayor who is going to have to answer, what is she going to do about this? And hint, hint, you didn't hear it from me, but there is a challenger out there who is going to provide answers. Because the bottom line is, even though this is a Democrat-led city, the little Democrats are tired of dying for the pleasure and the fantasies of the big house Democrats. And that's something that we can all unite behind, regardless of what your ideology is, regardless of your party. People in our city are not safe.
And, you know, to your point there, there was somebody that ran for judge last year, a Democrat, and was told by the Democrat Party, you have to run on letting more people out, being more relaxed on crime, and being more willing to let things go than saying you're going to be a strong person. And they and that was from the Democrat Party.
And I've heard from a number of lifelong Democrats who happen to be crime fighters. Yes, folks, they do exist. That this is the pressure that they're getting. You know, if you're right. Running on the local level or the state level, this is what you're being told. You've got to adopt this particular narrative. In the upcoming municipal elections, they're not going to be able to stand at the microphone and say, well, you know, I think that we really need to just let more armed robbers out of jail because that's going to make us safer. That person is guaranteed to lose in this particular part of the election cycle. If they can squeak by, they will. But too many people being hurt and too many Democratic voters are saying this is not acceptable. We did not sign up to see women being killed and beaten in the streets almost on a daily basis for their vehicles. So and I agree with them.
Yep. Not only do we have a mayor's race, we've got a council race coming up in New Orleans. So what I'm interested in hearing is, do you think that these people that are running for council, that are running for mayor, are they able to make the connection between policies? You know, let's even step away from crime policies. You know, let's step away from the district attorney who's letting more criminals out. Let's say the economic policies. Do you think they're even able to make the connection between bad economic policies and crime? Because there's economic policies that promote crime too.
They've made a connection, but that connection is also going to be questioned. Because once again, when they say that, well, we've got, you know, in fact, I never hear them talk about the black male unemployment rate here. Almost 50% before the pandemic. God knows what it is now. But we don't hear the mayor talk about it. That's something that needs to be brought up. If you're trying to say that there's some sort of economic driver to crime here, then why are we not prioritizing? And the mayor does have a youth employment program. Again, I'm not here to bash anybody, but the point is too many of our citizens are being bashed over the head to play nice and pretend like it's not happening.
Right.
And I don't buy into the Democratic narrative on this, and I also don't buy into the Libertarian Republican narrative. You know, Republicans who feel that mass incarceration, as they call it, is wrong, always say we're saving money. Well, I want to save lives. And if saving lives means we got to spend money to put somebody somewhere so that he doesn't hurt innocent women, then that's money well spent.
So you're not of the mindset, hey, you know, we're not going to lock up a mass amount of a certain population because it's wrong. It's what the Democrats have been saying for a long time. There's a certain population that's been locked up for way too much. We got to let more of them out. You don't buy that. You say no matter what your color, you commit the crime, you're going to do the time.
When a white female meth addict out in New Orleans East carjacked a black family vehicle that was left running, unfortunately, bad security, and one of the black children, I'm just going to put the race out there so we see it clearly now.
Because this really happened.
Yes, this really happened. Black child had to jump out of the car for his life, and this woman ran over him. Did you hear me get on social media or get on the United Safety Network page and say, oh, we've got to consider the fact that she's drug addicted and may not have been hugged in her formative years. No, lock her behind up.
So, Captain, this is a great segue to make a comparison that I think is long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there are policies that destroyed the black family, that destroyed the nuclear family, those same policies have also destroyed white families. So let's take color out of it. Those policies have destroyed family, and they've destroyed neighborhoods. They've destroyed a way of life, and they've created enough crime to where people get tired of looking the other way.
That's why I refer people to Charles Murray, who made the same argument about, we'll just say, non-black populations in a book called The Coming Underclass. This is not a black thing. And one, I really don't think the black family has been destroyed, but it has been severely challenged by outside, what I call, liberal colonization.
Well, it hasn't been destroyed. It's been, you know, damaged extremely.
Yeah, depending on the socioeconomic part of the black community, yes. But it's hitting everybody.
Right. Because
if you're talking about the single mother argument, well, white families now are majority single mother headed. If you're talking about young men and women who don't seem to have any direction, well, I refer you to 4 years of rioting that was committed not by mostly black people. You know, Antifa.
There you go. Not,
yeah.
You see?
And some of my friends, I know, for some of y'all, I love y'all. I know y'all love Antifa, but the bottom line is, it was not a bunch of brothers out there running around burning stuff down. And ironically, in some cases, you had members of black urban communities standing up to Antifa marches and say, look, don't come in our neighborhood and burn stuff down.
Which makes the point that it's not the destruction of a certain colored family, that these Democrat policies also hurt white families, which means it hurts all of our communities.
Precisely.
And all of our Americans. We got to take another break here for William Wallace for America. Stay tuned after the break. We'll come back and finish this up after the break. Thank you.
PDW Solutions has everything you need for your Second Amendment needs. Personal defense, training, concealed carry, and so much more for your personal and home security needs. To see what they have, visit them online or make an appointment to visit their store in person. PDW Solutions is on Facebook at PDW Solutions LLC or on the web at pdwsolutions.com. They aren't politically correct, so you may get an opinion on how they really feel about gun control. And their inventory shows they support the rights of the individual to keep and bear arms.
Does your company need to wear a mask to be compliant? Do you feel masks are needed to stop the spread? Or do you have a company that needs to offer protection? National Mask USA offers masks that are 100% made in the USA with a facility right here in Louisiana. Masks made in the USA offer peace of mind that they will be made reliably, sanitary, and with American workers to help the U.S. economy. To find out how to get bulk quantity level 1, 3, and KN95 masks, call 504-399-3031. That's 504-399-3031.
Trayvon Cajun Meats and Barbecue serves barbecue and an experience. The meats are incredible, specials are fantastic, and dining there will make you feel like you are going down memory lane. You probably won't get to meet the owner, because he's usually in the back cooking and preparing everything fresh for himself. Dine in, take out, and check out the prepared items to take home, or stock up on the sauces and rubs that Trayvon has ready for you to prepare your own barbecue. Find them in River Ridge or on Facebook at Trayvon Cajun Meats, where they post a lot of funny stuff.
Clean? You get professional clean when you get Classic Cleaners. And back to school means back to clean for school uniforms. Grab them out of the closet and what's that? They don't fit like they did back in May and June. Hey, kids grow and sometimes faster than you can keep up. So call 887-9958 and get another year out of last year's uniforms. Classic Cleaners can hem shirts, alter skirts, and let the hems down on pants. And remember, at Classic Cleaners, you'll enjoy free pickup and delivery, so you don't have to
take it in, pick it up.
Classic Cleaners will pick up your dirty clothes and deliver your laundered shirts and beautifully dry clean clothing back to you at no additional charge. Classic Cleaners offers convenient monthly billing, perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Right now is the perfect time to be thinking back to school, so don't
take it in, pick it up.
Call the Classic Cleaners near you, 887-9958. For back to school, get clean with Classic Cleaners,
887-9958. All right, everyone, back to William Wallace for America and WGSO. Now, everybody knows you can find me here in WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans, Louisiana on Tuesdays, of course, 5 to 6, or catch me WGSO.com. I'm saying that because this is going to be podcasted for my podcast followers. Of course, if you listen to me on a podcast, you're hearing me on any podcast app at William Wallace for America. You can catch me on YouTube and Facebook, also at William Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S, for America, and Twitter, Wallace for America. It's the number 4. But my guest today is Captain Black, and Captain, they can find you on where?
Dun-dun-dun-dun. You can find me on United Safety Network on Facebook. We do a lot of commentary there, video, as well as social media posts. The beautiful thing about the network is it's not partisan. You don't have to be into any ism except that you don't want people to be victimized.
Now, Captain, people, I have sponsors for my show, but the way you're funded is through your Cash App, right?
That's correct.
You will give that Cash App just in case?
Unless I hit good on the lottery. But until that happens, for any potential millionaires out there, you can help contribute to this great cause at $RightistBro, RIGHTISTBRO.
And that goes for you, Captain. So, Captain, so what do you think that the council members that are running for office and the mayor who's going to have a challenger, what do you think they need to do? What major policy or policies or statements do they need to come out with to win this election and turn the city around? And let's make some analogies with other cities too, but let's answer that question first.
Absolutely. Without doubt, they are going to have to challenge the consent decree and say that we are capable of governing ourselves and that we have proven so. You know, the NOPD are not a bunch of Nazis goose-stepping over people's civil rights, and we need to put that narrative to rest. We are almost 500 police officers short, and policies like this are not encouraging recruitment and retention. Next suggestion.
More policies. Go ahead.
Well, no, just saying policies where you have a federal consent decree.
Right.
They take away your pepper spray. If you pull your weapon out on somebody, you got to write a report. So I'm not saying walking around willy-nilly threatening people, but in the name of correcting the sins of the past, you have made the environment almost unappealing for veteran police officers and people who may want to be police officers. And they're going to have to challenge that. And to her credit, the current mayor has, but the challenge has to continue. I personally feel that mayoral and council member at large candidates need to put on the table that in the absence of a DA who will do his duty and apply the state law regarding carjackers, ask our U.S. attorney to prosecute carjacking under federal law, because it is a federal offense, as well as related violent crimes and a number of our armed robberies. These are repeat offenders. Some of them are convicted felons doing this. They can be charged under federal law. What's the benefit? Fed time is long time. So whatever sentence you get, you're usually going to do at least 75% of it.
So what other policy? Is it another policy that you can roll off the tip of your tongue?
Off the tip of my tongue, they are going to have to decide that NOPD is going to have to start arresting people who are repeat offenders. That means that city council will have to reverse the preceding city council's mandate on issuing summons. You can't issue summons to people who don't come to court anyway. You can't issue summons to people who, instead of saying, oh, wow, I'm getting a second chance, still go out there and beat women up in the streets.
So
you can't do it.
And here's what I'd like to add to that. What I would like to see these council members do. Now, look, we're making this say about New Orleans, but you know, what we're talking about applies to all cities. Is there anything that you can think of that that makes us similar to cities like Chicago or New York in policy? So you think about that while I say this. So, or do you have one already?
Well, actually, all of the above, because Chicago and New York have enacted summons in lieu of arrest. Chicago and New York also have DA's offices with whom the police have to turn these cases in, who are not prosecuting. And again, we're not talking about so-called nonviolent offenders, but career violent offenders. And when it comes to juveniles, if our city council and mayor is not going to lean on the DA to try juveniles as adults, I go back to my original suggestion, bring in the federal government and have the feds charge them federally. Because if not, somebody is going to die because of your inaction.
So here's what I would like to add to this. And this policy would, I think, apply to not just New Orleans, but Chicago, New York, everywhere else, all the Democrat-run cities. One of the things that promote crime is economic policies that they have either failed to enact or they have enacted ones that hurt economic development, that hurt opportunity, that hurt our job markets in ways where the average citizen or average person that needs that middle income and middle class job, they don't have those jobs.
If we took the FEMA dollars that allegedly keep pouring here and invest them in small businesses and invest them in micro businesses where an individual has
right.
a good or service, then you can help create some type of economic cushion. But if you keep giving your money to greedy real estate developers who have these tax credit con jobs where they come up with mixed use housing and other developments that most working class people can't live in or can't frequent, then you just worsen the poverty. And some people feel it's intentional, because if you drive out the working class, then you can have this condo paradise that seems to be so popular
right.
with so many of our cities, including Chicago and New York, as you referenced earlier.
Right.
Gentrification is a downward pressure on neighborhood stability and working class representation in your city.
You know, it's interesting. You and I have talked off the air about gentrification, and while I see what your point is about how it migrates low income families out of neighborhoods they've lived in forever.
No, it kicks them out. Not migrates.
Okay. It kicks them out, we'll say. But you know, there's another aspect to it where there are developers that may move into those neighborhoods, and in their eyes they might be improving it. But in a future podcast, I think I need to talk about some of my ideas that I think are possible that we both agree on. Find ways to keep families in those neighborhoods and economic policies that keep families that have been in there for generations.
Pro-worker, pro-family policies.
There you go.
Definitely, I agree with that.
And it keeps people with income to be able to keep their homes and keep their neighborhoods up, so that way they don't become prime opportunity for people to come in there and buy them up.
But to be honest with you, the neighborhood doesn't have to be run down. It just has to be black in too many cases. And that's why I'm looking forward to our mayor and some of our council at large members. When Airbnb developers come next door to their houses, I want to see how happy they're going to be.
So, Captain, real quick, do you think if anybody in the council needs your help, you're able to help them with this type of thing?
Hey, outreach? All you got to do is reach out to me at United Safety Network on Facebook. And some of you have been kindly following me on Twitter and Instagram. So
right.
let's work together. Let's have a safer city. Alliances, not argument.
Let's make New Orleans an example of what other cities can do to lower crime, improve their economic development, and be able to have citizens live safely.
Here, here.
All right. That, my friends, is it for the day. Please share this, not only this show, but share it on a podcast. And tune in next week for more of me, William Wallace for America.
At Hyundai of Metairie, there's never been a time when your car has been more valuable than right now. And Hyundai of Metairie will pay up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book value. Buy a car from us, or we'll buy one from you. At Hyundai of Metairie, there's a reason why we're Louisiana's number one new Hyundai and certified pre-owned volume dealer. Be sure to visit our facility at 5969 Veterans Boulevard to see all we have to offer. Or call 504-838-9000. Visit us online at HyundaiofMetairie.com.
A very smart financial person once said there are five G's you need in life, and that's God, gold, guns, grub, and ground. And there is a place in Slidell that has gold and guns, and that's Gold and Gun Traders at 1428 Gauze Boulevard in Slidell. And they buy, sell, trade, and transfer. So if you want to buy, have a need to sell, or just need some help doing a trade,